The views expressed on the Cystic Fibrosis Podcast are that of Jerry Cahill and his guests, and not necessarily those of the Boomer Esiason Foundation. Nothing in the Cystic Fibrosis Podcast should be considered medical advice. Such advice can only be given by a physician who is experienced with cystic fibrosis. The Boomer Esiason Foundation, Jerry Cahill, and his guests cannot be held responsible for any damage which may result from using the information on this podcast without the permission of your medical doctor. You're listening to the Cystic Fibrosis Podcast presented by the Boomer Esiason Foundation. Now, here is Jerry Cahill.
Welcome to Jerry Cahill's Living, Breathing, Succeeding CF Podcast Program. This show, Involvement in the CF Community, Being Part of the Solution, was made possible through an unrestricted educational grant from Genentech to the Boomer Esiason Foundation. Today you'll meet Mark Levine, 48 years old, who grew up in Connecticut, attended Lehigh University, and currently living in Michigan. Mark is married to his lovely wife, Joelle, works out every morning, and is an avid tennis player. Hi, Mark. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty well, Jerry. Thanks for having me here today.
Well, this is great to get together with you and talk about some of the things that you're doing and your involvement. But before we get going with that, can you tell me a little bit about yourself, when you were diagnosed, growing up, sports?
Yeah, sure. As you said, I grew up in Connecticut. I was diagnosed when I was 2 years old at Yale New Haven Hospital. I grew up outside of New Haven. And actually, I had a brother who was born 2 years after me, and we grew up there not far from the beach. Actually, it was really quite nice in Connecticut. And my brother actually had a more severe case than me. He actually passed away when he was 21 while I was in college. But I did attend Lehigh University in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and got a job right out of school, which brought me here to Michigan.
That's great.
Yeah.
And tell me a little bit about school. Were you involved in sports? I know you work out every day and stuff now.
Yeah. In high school, actually, I played tennis. That was always my sport. I started playing when I was a little kid and got the opportunity to play on the tennis team in high school. It was actually really cool. I was captain of the tennis team my senior year. And I like to bike and hike and walk and work out. I do work out every morning. These days, just to stay active and to stay healthy. And I still play tennis. Love it.
That's great. And where did you go to high school?
I went to Amity Regional Senior High School in Woodbridge, Connecticut.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so tell me about, you're out working now and you're married, you have a family.
Yeah, so I came actually out here to the Detroit area right after school and got a job. And I've been working for, which is now Fiat Chrysler, for 24 years. After being here for 3 years, I actually moved to Indiana, where we had some plants, where we make transmissions. And it was there, actually, where I met my wife, Joelle. And she has two kids from a previous marriage. And so I have two stepkids who are fantastic. They're now actually 23 and 21. One of them's already out of college. One of them is a junior in school. And they're doing fantastic.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, that's great.
So let's jump in here in terms of involvement in the CF community. You called it being part of the solution. Why do you call it that?
You know, to be part of a solution, of course, there has to be a problem, right? And the problem here is that cystic fibrosis exists, quite frankly, right? So to be part of the solution is to be part of the movement, if you will, to basically better support the CF community, but more importantly, find a cure for CF. And I think if you take it very literally, right, you're like, the person who cures CF is going to be like this guy behind a microscope looking at stuff going, I got it, and they figure it out. But the truth is, I look at that person as being kind of like a professional athlete, right? There's only going to be like us, not that they're better than us, they have a very specific skill set, right? So I think that, you know, you got to realize that this is part of there's a bigger team out there. And instead of sitting around saying, boy, when are they going to find a cure? When are they going to do that? I think that you need to take action and do what you can to be part of the solution. And there are a lot of opportunities and a lot of ways that you could be part of the solution. And something important to keep in mind too, I think, is that it's from a mental health standpoint, like it's really healthy to not feel helpless, to not feel like a victim, to say, you know what, I'm doing what I can to help find a cure. And so I look at that collective team, and the collective team's pretty large and pretty involved, as being part of the solution.
So let me ask you a question though, in terms of involvement, or how did you become active and involved in the CF community, at what age?
Well, you know, growing up, my parents had two kids with CF. They got involved with the CF Foundation way back, and we're talking in the 70s here. And my dad was on the local Cystic Fibrosis Foundation board of directors. He was president for a year or two. When I was 7 years old, I remember I was a poster child. Were you ever a poster child?
No, I never was.
No?
Congratulations.
Well, yeah, well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much.
I'd love to see one of those pictures. Could you send it to me?
I could, actually. Yeah. There's if I do say so myself, an adorable picture of me in a golf cart with the Yale Bulldog, because one of the things that we did was a golf tournament in Connecticut. And I remember going there, and I mean, that's pretty famous. You know, the Yale Bulldog, that's their mascot. Yeah. And I got to take a picture with the Yale Bulldog. And while I was, not the mascot, that was the dog. While I was the poster child, I actually also, I remember giving an award to Jimmy Connors at the in Hartford, something called the Aetna World Cup. And it was, again, just another fundraiser. There was tennis players involved. And it was there, too, where I met Frank DeFord and Alex. If you remember, he had a daughter, Alex. Mm-hmm. They made a movie, Life of a Child. And I have a picture with the three of us. And so that was probably maybe the earliest involvement. We did bike-a-thons, all that kind of stuff.
You were a poster child.
I was a poster child, yeah. But I think really, the question really is, when did I really get involved on my own? And I think, you know, you got to kind of be on your own to kind of get involved on your own. And I think it was when I was in college, when my brother David had a transplant in 1990. I was like a junior, sophomore, junior year. It was over the summer between those. And I think I really realized that I needed to do something. And then especially when he passed, I was in my last year of graduate school. And I really, I remember reaching out to the foundation and getting involved. And one of the things that kind of, to get involved, sometimes all it takes is like one avenue. And once you get that one avenue, you all of a sudden build this network. And once you're in the network, the very fact that here I'm talking to you, I feel like I could be basically connected to anything in the CF community. As soon as you know a few people, I actually was involved with a support group. Now, we don't do that anymore, right? But we had, there's 6-8 of us all in somebody's living room once a month, and we just kind of hang out and kind of share stories. And they told me about what wound up being my first CF care center. It was actually in Philadelphia. And, once you get involved with that and you start, hooking up with the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, all of a sudden, there's just all these opportunities kind of come your way. So that's probably really when I started college.
And you started at that time really because of your brother, would you say? Or
well,
you started mainly in college or?
Yeah. I'm not exactly sure, but my mom tells me, and she's very insightful, that she noticed that I really started getting more involved with the CF community when my brother really started or had his transplant, when I really saw the dire need for stuff like this, for sure. And keep in mind, I was always even in high school, I was in a youth group and we did a lot of volunteering. So I'd always done it growing up. But this is where I really had the initiative to do it on my own.
Where was your brother transplanted?
Where? At Yale New Haven Hospital, yeah.
I'm not sure. I think you may have got involved as soon as you were with that bulldog in that poster shot.
That was
that's the starter.
Yeah, that was a strong connection. Yeah. Strong connection.
I hear it. I don't know if this is true, that you have that poster at your home.
blown up poster. Yeah,
is that true?
In the foyer of our house. Yeah. You have to come over and check it out yourself. Yeah.
Emily Schuyler told me that.
Oh, is that right?
I don't know, but I'm just checking. Okay, so you started really in college, and you started. You think or you remember maybe because your brother was not doing well, and you just wanted to make a difference.
Well, I think you know when you see you know here it is. My brothers and I were fighting the same disease, and you know, I see that he's sicker than I, and you know, getting hospitalized, and you know, his health wasn't doing great, and then you know, especially after he passed, thinking, you know what, this is something that could happen to me. I mean, not that you don't realize it going along, but I think it's like, holy cow, this is pretty real, and I think if I didn't have CF. That would be if you saw a sibling really suffer and ultimately lose their battle to a disease like this, that you would say, "Hey, I'm going to do something in his tribute, in his memory." And I think maybe that's part of it. But the other part of it, of course, is probably self-preservation to say, "Hey, you know what? I'm not going to wait for somebody else to find something for me. I'm going to do what I can right now to make a difference."
Well, that's pretty admirable because, you know, there's a lot of people that would get involved, but there's probably a big percentage, too, that would just take a passive role and say, you know, unfortunately, you know, this happened to my brother and, you know, I've just got to live my life, even though you have CF. I mean, I hear that from people all the time. They say, you had a transplant, you're doing well. Why are you still involved with CF? Just go out and live your life. So it's admirable, I think, that, you know, that you did get involved and, you know, your involvement is making a difference. So I guess my question would be to you, I mean, I know why I'm doing it, but why didn't you just take a passive role?
I just don't think it was in my nature to do that. I mean, it's, you know, I think you see that there's an opportunity. I just don't feel like one of those people who would want to play a victim card. Per se, but also I feel like I have a lot to give. I have a lot of energy and it doesn't seem right to, you know, in this case to be a taker when I could be a doer and be a difference maker. And again, it doesn't have to be on a huge scale. And, you know, I see people, you know, speaking nationally and, you know, I actually would love to be there, but, you know, I do what I can locally. I see people raising millions of dollars, and I raise a lot for, I think, my area. But, you know, point is, I don't do maybe like huge stuff, but I make a difference for sure. And again, it doesn't feel right not doing it. I mean, it feels like I have a commitment to myself and to the community to do what I can.
No, that's great. I guess the question I would have next is, what kind of opportunities are there to get involved?
There are tons. I kind of look at it, maybe like there's two avenues. I'm sure there's probably, you could break it down into more. And one of it is really supporting the CF community as it stands today. And then the other is being part of this movement to find a cure. So supporting the community today, one of the things that I got involved with is the CF Roundtable, which is a quarter. You familiar with that?
Oh, quite familiar.
Quite familiar with that.
We actually support it. Yeah.
Of course you are. Yeah, no, you guys are a huge donor.
It's a great program.
It really is. Yeah, and the Esiason Foundation is one of many supporters, and so. The deal there is, it's not straight up finding a cure, right? But it's really supporting the foundation. You know, we talked about, I was in the support group, and we really can't do that anymore. And when if you get the roundtable and you read it and you can really start connecting with people. You could say, holy cow, this person's going through the same thing I am. You can learn, it's a way to exchange and learn information. And it really helps people feel part of a community. And again, I think that's one of the worst things is to feel helpless and as an outsider and alone, and you start picking up this publication, you start reading articles from people all over the country, sometimes all over the world, and you're like, you know what, wow, there's somebody kind of just like me. So that's one way. Through the CF Foundation, of course, they have these things called BreatheCon, right? These little conferences. Have you heard of BreatheCon?
Yes, I have heard of
it. You have heard of BreatheCon? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I think I saw you on there once when I was a moderator.
I think we were keynote speakers at one of the events.
We were checking the lighting, I remember.
Yeah, there you go.
Lighting issues. Yeah.
So, and there's, again, is that going to find a cure? No, but it's actually getting the people with CF together to share and exchange ideas. And I've done a few more since the one that we did back in September.
How was your lighting?
The lighting, I went down to my basement this time, and I think it was actually pretty good.
Okay.
I had a good background, which good. I think is key to the whole operation when you're on camera like that. But again, that's just another great opportunity. So that's that part. There are other things that you could do to be, you know, especially if you're a parent with somebody with CF to get involved. But then there's a whole fundraising element, which is, in my opinion, how I can make a difference is that person behind the microscope. I can't do that, but I can help fund them and help fund the organizations that make that do the research, if you will, on the research to figure out where those funds need to go to make the biggest impact on CF.
So, yeah, let me go back a little bit, you know, what's really important, because like something with the CF roundtable, and they actually really, when you think of it, it's all social media. People with cystic fibrosis, you know, cannot be around each other. I mean, right now we're practicing the 6-foot rule, but I wear a mask and gloves, so, you know, that makes a difference. And post-transplant, I don't cough really at all. And if somebody was sick, I wouldn't obviously be around them, and, you know, you're obviously not coughing. But so it's important that even with the CF Roundtable that people can share their stories and write an article, and that would be posted in the CF Roundtable, which is a great thing, way to get involved too. Because by sharing your story, then it leads to other people like, hey, I'm going through similar stuff. So it creates a lot of connections. And fundraising, I think, which we're going to talk about and we're starting to talk about now, it's important to realize that, you know, it doesn't matter if you do a cupcake sale or you're doing a major event. It's like every little bit helps.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Yeah, so the thing about the round table, right? Yeah, it's sometimes it's even cathartic to write an article, like kind of get what you're thinking and what you're feeling kind of off your chest and share it with others. And so, yeah, those articles are really kind of neat. And we actually have blogs that people write as part of the roundtable that go out probably, you know, 2 to 4 times a week, which is kind of cool. So, you know, people are just constantly exchanging ideas and they get emailed right to you. But
I'll check out your blog up there.
Yeah, I just wrote one a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
For sure. So I don't have my own, right? But we write as part of the roundtable.
Okay.
But and then yeah, the fundraising. Yeah, like I said, there's all kinds of levels. The reason me bringing that up is that it's not fair to compare yourself to anybody else. You do what you can do, but to me, everybody could do something. Like to do nothing is not the way to go.
And what kind of fundraising have you participated in over the years, and how has that evolved?
Yeah, so it's I've done a lot of a bunch of different things. Right now, kind of mainstream, I'm doing involved with the Great Strides walk through the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, as well as the Cycle for Life. Are you a bike rider?
Yes, I do a little bit of biking.
You do a little. I've heard you do a little bit of biking, even across state lines and across country lines.
Yes, I got caught at the Canadian border trying to get back in.
Yeah.
Couldn't get on a flight because I had my passport ID, but not my passport.
Oh, you need a passport.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
I need to get back in.
So. Even we're here in Detroit looking across the river here. You better have your passport. You know, that the Cycle for Life, another great event that at least locally they've had before, and it's on and off. And we just kind of started full scale again 3 years ago. Another opportunity to raise money. And to me, it's nice to have an event in which to raise money, but you don't need an event to raise money. In fact, one of the things that the foundation is pushing is like an annual gift where you could just say, hey, I'm raising money to raise money because we need to find a cure. But a lot of people, I think, when you ask for a donation, really like to have it associated with something, or at least if they're participating, they like to say, hey, you know, April 29th, which is when our Detroit walk was just a couple of days ago here in Detroit at the zoo. It was a beautiful day for it. It's good to have an event. It's just like a start and an end. By the way, we still have like 18 more walks in the community here before the season's over. But I'll tell you this, right? So check this out.
Wait, one other thing you go on about that. I heard, again, I don't know if this could just be people talking, that, you know, because, you know, you said it doesn't matter what any little bit you can do is helpful. You don't have to do a major event, do a little local event. I heard that when you were the poster child, you had the biggest cupcake sale, and everybody loved that Yale colors on your cupcakes.
Again, you know, look it up on the internet, see if you can find it. I do like cupcakes.
Okay.
For sure. And
I'm going to Google out about the cupcakes.
Yeah, please do. Yeah, please do. That's a good find. So check this out. So I told you I lived here in Detroit for a few years right after school, but then I moved to Indiana, right? I told you that's where I met my wife, Joelle. Before I met her, I moved down there, and the first thing I did was I went downtown Indianapolis, and I went right to the CF Foundation. I knocked on the door. I said, my name's Mark. I'm new to town. I want to get involved. What can I do? And they said, oh, do we have something for you? And there is an event that was, I mean, it couldn't have been more perfect for me. Because here I was, you know, single guy, just moved into town, didn't know anybody. And they had an event called the Guys and Dolls Auction. I don't know if you've ever, you know, heard of these types of events, but they...
Was that the one you were dancing in, like a theatrical event?
Not that one. That was something else. Oh, something else. Yeah. No, this was, so I got immediately involved. And I actually, the idea was that they found single people. We put together a date package. You know, then you had to fundraise a minimum amount to be a part of the event. And there were all these social things leading up to the actual event. And then the event itself, they say, well, here's Mark. And if you bid on Mark, you'll go to dinner here and a, you know, horse-drawn carriage ride here.
With you?
With me.
Wow.
Yes, exactly, right? I mean,
fancy stuff.
Seems kind of priceless, yet you could put a price tag on it, apparently.
Let's make a deal.
Yeah, that was the kind of thing. So that was such a cool event that I participated in right from moving into a new city. And then I got involved on the committee the next year, and then I was, you know, chair of that committee the year after that. So there's tons of stuff that's going on.
So
obviously,
you evolved.
And I've evolved, yeah, for sure. I participate in the walk. And I say participate, and we could talk about ways in which you actually raise money for the walk, but also the bike ride. And those are maybe more tried and true standard kind of things, but still a lot of fun and a great way to get involved.
And meeting people.
And to meet people, for sure, yeah.
And what are the key things that you've learned about fundraising? Because there's so many different areas of fundraising, and you know, it started with your cupcakes, and you've evolved into guys and gals dancing, and you know, Great Strides, and these all are bigger, higher ticket items. I mean, you went from cupcakes to you being auctioned off.
Yeah.
So I guess the question is, what have you learned over the years about fundraising?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let me tell you one other thing though that I did. I forgot.
Uh-oh.
The tennis auction ball. When I lived here too, back in
the tennis auction ball.
Tennis auction, they call it TAB. The tennis auction ball was one of the biggest events in the Detroit area for a while. You know, all these events, they kind of have a life cycle. You know, people like the great Guys and Dolls auction in Indianapolis kind of ran its course after like 15 years or so, and they transitioned into something else. But yeah, I also played tennis where there would be an amateur. And somebody would bid on the amateur, and then you get paired up with a pro, and it was this whole big to-do. It was actually a lot of fun, but that was another event that I participated in. So I did, the Guys and Dolls, I did the tennis, and now the walking and the biking. There's so much going on. So here are some of the keys, though. So the Great Strides is a fundraiser, right? So how do you fundraise? A lot of different ways to do it, but the way that I do it is, you know, probably the main way that most people do, which is through email solicitation. I actually have an email list. I send emails out to people and I say, would you like to support me for my walk? And the key thing I think to remember is that in general, people are okay with making donations. They actually like to make donations. They like to support you. They like to support good causes. And I think one of the things that holds people back is they feel like they're putting somebody in an uncomfortable situation when they're asking for money, like they're putting them out somehow. And so they don't always ask with the right amount of confidence, or they don't follow up, or they make excuses, or they say something like, would you like to make a donation? You know, even if you just give $10, that'll be fine. Well, guess what? If you ask for $10, you get $10. I ask for a donation, and the person who could afford 10 gives me 10. The person who could afford 1,000 gives me 1,000. And before you know it, it adds up. And so I think it's important to keep in mind that people are comfortable. I have people say, hey, I didn't get an email from you yet. Did I miss your fundraiser? I mean, that's got to be enough to tell you that, you know, they want to participate and they want to support you. So I also ask people to walk on my team. When you have people walk, you need to ask them to send emails out as well and say, hey, you don't just donate $100 and come walk. Donate $100, come walk. Ask some of your friends and family to make a donation as well. It might be something they never thought of. I actually told somebody that recently, and they're like, whoa, I just got like three people, my friends, made donations last night, and they got all excited about it. I mean, that's something to remember.
Now, I have a question.
Yeah.
Very important. So, you know, with Great Strides, there's a lot of different teams and whatnot, and they all have, people have different t-shirts. Now, do you have a t-shirt?
I do, a team t-shirt.
What's the name of your team?
Team Levine.
Team Levine. Oh, yeah. That's got a certain ring to it.
It does. I mean, it's, wow. Yeah. Team Levine. We don't have t-shirts. We don't do that. But if you go to the walk and you raise $100, you get your own t-shirt from the foundation. That's how we kind of roll with it. It's hard to tell who's actually going to come on walk day. So I don't have t-shirts. But I can tell you this year was the first year I actually had a national team, which was kind of neat. You know, my parents now grew up in Connecticut, but my parents live in Arizona. So Team Levine walked in Arizona. My wife was actually out there for that walk, which is cool. We have friends in Philadelphia. There was a Team Levine in Philadelphia, and also good friends in the Miami, Florida area, and there was a Team Levine there. So every year I hope to expand and get another Team Levine somewhere.
You keep evolving.
And
Mark.
I keep evolving,
well,
yeah.
I'm little, telling you.
A little scary, right?
Mark for president. Now, I want to switch gears a little bit here, you know, because we're talking about involvement in the CF community, doing events, fundraising. But there's also involvement in the CF community when you can get involved in clinical trials. Have you been involved in clinical trials? Because this is a very important role also. And there's some people that, the people that are involved in clinical trials, they're making a big difference. They're helping themselves because sometimes, you know, they get the drugs in for free. They're finding that they're on the drug or not on a placebo. But and it's really helping the pharmaceuticals, and you're paving the way for other people with CF. So clinical trials is a great way to participate. So can you talk a little bit about that, and have you been involved?
Yeah, first of all, absolutely. Yeah, I've been in, it's been like probably four or five clinical trials over the last probably 5 or 10 years. And yeah, you know, as an engineer, I respect the whole scientific process of, you know, trying to, you know, understand the root cause of a problem and then coming up with a solution. And there are a lot of different solutions for different problems, and then testing it out to see if it actually really works. And so, you know, again, we're talking about part of the solution. Gosh, that is an absolute crucial element to the being part of the solution, is actually helping somebody determine whether or not something is going to be effective. So, yeah, I've been in a bunch of clinical trials. A year and a half ago, I was in the trial for the drug that wound up being Syndico. And here's the deal. I was on that. I wasn't sure. You know, I was on the clinical trial part. It's phase three. I wasn't sure. You know, it's double blind if you're on it or not. And I wanted to believe that it was actually helping me. And then at the end of the trial, I actually flipped over to what they call open label, where I absolutely got the drug. And the idea was stay on the drug until it gets released to the FDA. And they found out about 5 months later that it was not effective for my genotype, right? And they said, come in tomorrow, the stuff's not working, we're ending the whole study. Now, by the way, as everybody knows, it got released to the public about 2 months ago and is a great medication and it's helping a lot of people. It's just, it didn't help me. And I was kind of disappointed. except from an engineer perspective, I was kind of like, this is how it works. This is part of the process. This is, sometimes you test stuff and it doesn't pan out. And you know what? That's okay. Because, you know, you think about it, what's better is that they tried it for a short amount of time on people and it clearly worked for some and it clearly did not work for others. But the key is that they learned that. And now there aren't going to be people who are paying a lot of money or a lot of money through insurance for a medication that doesn't work, getting their expectations and hopes up. And so that's that. 2 months ago, or maybe 3 months ago at this point, I was on that triple combination clinical trial. And again, don't know officially if I was on it or if I was not on it, but I could tell you, I felt different when I was in that trial. And enough so that I could say that I'm really excited for that to come out. I was on it for 4 weeks, and that was a phase 2 trial. I'm looking forward, hopefully, to participating in a phase 3, or at the very least for that coming out to market. But it's exciting to be part of that process, be part of the process.
Well, awesome. I think it's important, too, is like, you know, some people, I mean, you're very well-rounded in everything you're doing, and your poster child, and all these different things, cupcake sales, great strides. But some people, they're not cut out for fundraising. So we talk about involvement in the CF community. You know, getting involved in a drug study or trial is really helpful.
Yeah,
and
if you
can make a major, major difference.
A huge difference. They need people. I mean, in order for the thing to go through, you need to have so many people. And if they don't have those many people, they can't pass the trial. So be that person if you can.
And I kind of know this, but I'm just throwing it out there for you. I haven't been in a trial since pre-transplant, so, you know, I'm getting to see now. That was over 6 years ago. But, you know, the process in getting started, isn't it worthwhile to be involved in a study other than, you know, your involvement? But, you know, like I said, you may get the drug, and you may get the drug for free. But there's a lot involved, like making trips to the doctors and so on. But they take care of all that, right?
Yeah. So I think every trial has a different protocol. And I think it's important to figure out what that protocol is and make sure that it could fit into your lifestyle, into your schedule. You know, they might have some drug studies where you need to be hospitalized for 2 weeks. And that wasn't something that would work for me. But for these trials that I was on, it was, hey, you got to go to the hospital a couple times. Some of them are 4-hour visits. Some of them are 7-hour visits. And I said, you know what? I could make that work. And they're very accommodating. And they actually do pay you to participate in the study. You know, they pay for your mileage. They pay for your time, pay for a lunch, which is nice. And so, you know, at least you got that going for you. And then, yeah, again, when you're done, if you're on a phase 3, it's possible, it's not a rule, but it's possible that you could get the drug for free until it gets approved. So there's a lot of benefits to being part of it.
So, Mark, just to go full circle, I know we spoke about a lot of different things, but, you know, somebody out there with cystic fibrosis that's not as familiar, they listen to the podcast. How, just finishing up, what recommendations would you give to somebody with CF that may be thinking about getting involved?
Yeah, I think if you want to get involved, you just gotta make the call. And where is that? It's really up to you. My recommendation, because it's the key is get involved in the network. You got to tap into the network. And if you do something like call the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, you'll get in the network, meaning you'll start getting invited to events. You'll start meeting other people like you, whether it's a friend of somebody who has CF or a parent of somebody who has CF or somebody who has CF. You start getting kind of paired up with those people, and it's just a great opportunity to get tapped into the network. So that's really the key. Get involved somehow. That's how, you know, you meet people. You learn about something like the Boomer Esiason Foundation, like the Roundtable, like a BreatheCon event, like the Great Strides Walk, like the Guys and Dolls, all these different things. You meet people, you feel connected in the network, and ultimately, again, it's really, it feels good in my opinion, kind of do the right thing.
Well, Mark, this was some great information, and I wanted to thank you for talking about involvement in the CF community. And it really is being part of the solution, whether it's fundraising, bringing awareness, volunteering, or being involved in clinical trials. I'd also like to thank Genentech for their unrestricted educational grant to the Boomer Esiason Foundation. And Mark, thank you. I appreciate your time, and it was fun talking about all the different things you've been involved with. I really enjoyed the cupcakes and the guys and dolls, and so it's all good stuff.
Thank you very much, Jerry. I appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
It was great.
You've been listening to Jerry Cahill's Cystic Fibrosis Podcast. If you would like more information on cystic fibrosis or the Boomer Esiason Foundation, visit our website at www.esiason.org.